भजामि।
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमः। फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 8 टेक्स्ट नंबर 33 एंड टेक्स्ट नंबर 34। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज द लॉर्ड स्लेज द किंग ऑफ द डीमंस। द्यवत् सटोत्क्षिप्त विमान संकुला प्रोत सर्पत क्षमा च पड़ा पदा विपीडिता शैला समुत्पेतुरमुश्रमहसा तत्तेजसाखं कुकुभो नरे जिरे।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Airplanes were thrown into outer space and the upper planetary system by the hair on Narsingdev's head. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position. And all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky and all directions diminished in their natural illumination. Purport. That there were airplanes flying in the sky long, long ago can be understood from this verse. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken 5,000 years ago. And the statements of this verse proves that symptoms of a very advanced civilization then existed, even in the upper planetary systems, as well as in the lower planetary systems. Modern scientists and philosophers foolishly explain that there was no civilization prior to 3,000 years ago. But the statement of this verse nullifies such whimsical judgments. The Vedic civilization existed millions and millions of years ago. It existed since the creation of this universe. And it included arrangements all over the universe with all the modern amenities and even more. I'll take the text 34 also. Manifesting a full effulgence and a fearsome countenance, Lord Narsingha, being very angry and finding no contestant to face his power and opulence, then sat down in the assembly hall on the excellent throne of the king. Because of fear and obedience, no one could come forward to serve the Lord directly. A very beautiful purport, for I chose to speak today. When the Lord sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, there was no one to protest. No enemy came forward on behalf of Hiranyakashipu to fight with the Lord. This means that his supremacy was immediately accepted by the demons. Another point is that although Hiranyakashipu treated the Lord as his bitterest enemy, he was the Lord's faithful servant in Vaikuntha. And therefore the Lord had no hesitation in sitting on the throne that Hiranyakashipu had so laboriously created. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that sometimes with great care and attention, great saintly persons and rishis offer the Lord valuable seats dedicated with Vedic mantras and tantras, but still the Lord does not sit upon those thrones. Hiranyakashipu, however, had formerly been Jaya, the doorkeeper at the Vaikuntha gate. And although he had fallen because of the curse of the Brahmanas and had gotten the nature of a demon, and although he had never offered anything to the Lord as Hiranyakashipu, the Lord is so affectionate to his devotee and servant that he nonetheless took pleasure in sitting on the throne that Hiranyakashipu had created. In this regard, it is to be understood that a devotee is fortunate in any condition of his life. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Tam. It is of previous ages. And the second one is very universally applicable at all times, at all situations. And therefore, as a devotees, or trying to be devotees, for us to believe in what Prabhupada writes here, there is no need for discussion. Because simply by the culture of the previous yuga, one can understand, along with proper behavior comes the facility also. So therefore, to believe that there were airplanes and great facilities is not very wonderful. But here the most wonderful is the nature of the Lord. As explained by Srila Prabhupada, a devotee is fortunate in all situations, not because his own qualification, because of the nature of the Lord. Whatever Krishna does is very artful. And the greatest art, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained, the most powerful quality of Krishna is not his great power, but the greatest power of the Lord is his greatest mercy. He says that the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the greatest quality of the Lord and the most powerful quality of all the qualities of the Lord. Because in the mercy of the Lord, there is a remembrance of all the past activities, of good activities which has done by the conditioned soul in regards to trying to perform devotional service to Krishna. Just see how Krishna, as Lord Narasimhadev, he fought for many hours. Lord appeared almost in the morning time. And he kept on fighting with Hiranyakashipu because he was trying to respect the benediction given by Lord Brahma, that not in the daytime, not in the night, dusk, he never asked. So Lord Vishnu or Narasimhadev was waiting for the dusk to come. That was a long fight, like one of our devotees, a boxer. And he was saying that in the olden time, the boxing would go for many, many hours. Till the person who falls flat and dies, you have to continue fighting. And he said that the person who would lose the battle, he would also die. And within 1 hour, the winner will also die. Because both get beaten up very badly. But here, as Prabhupada explains, that for Lord Narasimhadev, there was no rival. Very easily, he could have killed Hiranyakashipu instantly, but he allowed the battle to take place, to experience the pleasure of fighting, and also to give that pleasure to Hiranyakashipu and all the demigods also. Free match was going on. And eventually, this part is the most important part, that the Lord now looks like he is tired after such a long battle and is sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. And just see, nowhere Sukadeva Goswami mentions why Lord Narasimhadev sat. But the devotees, after many thousand years, this pastime took place billions of years ago. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur appeared only 400 years ago. And because he is involved in the pastimes of the Lord, he can understand the Lord also. And therefore, he is giving the commentary that Lord Narasimhadev sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu just to make it very clear that in all condition, I will accept your service. And therefore, Prabhupada explains, adding his words of wisdom, that a devotee of the Lord is fortunate in all condition of life. This is the difference between the demigods, powerful people, and Krishna. The demigods, or even in the mundane world we see, you know, these big corporations, they create unlimited facilities for their people. Lot of facilities. And give them big salary, all facilities. But when they feel that we don't need any more, for a person to continue for them, then they lay him off. Laying means slaying. Just add one yes there. They slay them off. Without even allowing them to come and take their things also. Right? Sometime it is said that they don't allow them to come back to their desk. They collect everything and then they say, we'll bring it to you. And the security comes to the gate. This is what one receives in the material world, accepting a master. Huh? There is no gratitude. Absolutely no gratitude. Ruthlessness. But Krishna is not like that. Even the demigods, during the story of Lord Krishna, went along with Satyabhama to the abode of Narakasura. And there was a big fight. And after fighting Narakasur, killing Naraka, killing other demons, Mura demon also, Krishna collected the earrings of Diti, Varuna's umbrella, and Mandara mountain's peak. Just see the powerful demon. He had stolen the peak of the Mandara mountain. He has stolen the earrings of the mothers of the demigod. And then he had stolen the umbrella of Varun. And Lord Krishna collected, just see, he collected all these ingredients of the demigods and went to the heavenly planets to deliver it to Indra. Indra, Varuna and others. And he gave it to them. Shukadeva Goswami, when he speaks this story, very elaborately explains, Indra along with Sachi, he touched his crown at the feet of the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. But when Krishna was going back to Dwarka, Satyabhama remembered the Parijat incident. She said, I want that Parijat. And Krishna picked up the Parijat tree. And what happened? Suddenly Indra came along with his army to fight Krishna. And Shukadeva Goswami says, just see this Indra. He said he offered his obeisances to Krishna along with his wife. But now he has come to fight Krishna. Therefore, out of surprise and anger also, he saw Parikshit Maharaj becoming angry. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, he saw Parikshit Maharaj becoming angry. And seeing Parikshit's anger, Shukadeva Goswami spoke. He said, Aho Suranam Chottamo Dhig Adhyatam. Dhig means dhikkar. No? Just like people in the outside the companies or the government office, they take the name of the main boss and give all kinds of galis, bad words to him. So similarly, Shukadeva Goswami became so angry and upset with Indra. He said, Dhik Adhyatam. He said, these demigods, what an ignorance they are exhibiting. Just now he worshipped the Lord and suddenly there is complete change and he is coming to attack Krishna. He said, hell with these demigods. Hell with their opulence. And that's what he pacifies Parikshit Maharaj. By condemning Indra. This pastime has taken many years back. Krishna has forgiven Indra, but Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj cannot forgive. Similarly, in Govardhan Leela also, when Krishna was about to lift the Govardhan hill, it is explained, what was the reason why Indra was he was trying to kill the Brijbasis by, those were not raindrops. They were like, missiles trying to destroy the Brijbasis. Every bit of that ground he wanted to drench in, submerge. He wanted that Vrindavan should be non-existent on the map of the earth. That was the tendency, that was the mentality of Indra. And why he wanted to do it? He said, just see these Brajabasis out of prosperity, they have become maddened by the wealth. They have become arrogant. And what Krishna is saying about Indra? Krishna is saying the same thing about Indra. Indra is accusing the Brajabasis of the very crime which he was committing, and therefore Krishna arranged this whole pastime of lifting Govardhan hill just to remove Indra of his pride. And Indra is accusing. It is very easy to identify others' faults. While doing the same fault, we cannot understand. That is the nature of a conditioned soul. And therefore Krishna said that I need to teach lesson to Indra. Why? Because he has become very proud. And just see, exactly opposite of the Lord, Indra did not consider that, okay, this year they are not performing this tapas, this yajna, but all these years they have done it. He couldn't be grateful to the Brijbasis. He couldn't be grateful. Therefore, both, this point was discussed by Giriraj Maharaj and Radhanand Maharaj. Both were discussing separately. Giriraj Maharaj said, one thing I learned from Srila Prabhupada was that whatever one rendered service, do not deny it. He said he came to Calcutta one time and he visited one very rich man. And this rich man, it was a big house, elaborate furniture, decoration was there. And Giriraj Maharaj asked him for donation. And the man said, you know, I can't, I don't have a money. And Giriraj Maharaj, you know how he speaks softly. He said, but you have all this furniture, everything so nicely. He said, I spoke very softly. And that man said, it is only a show. It's only a show. Actually, there is nothing with me. But he said, you know what? He said, I have a car. He said, I'll give you this car for full day with my driver. You can use it. So, Giriraj Maharaj said, I could have thought, what is the value of this car? What will I do with this car? And that only for one day. He said, no benefit. But he said, no. Then he made this point because Prabhupada taught me that whatever one offers, do not reject it. Can be used in Krishna's service. He said, no problem. I didn't know what I will do with the car. He gave the driver. I sat in the car. Immediately Krishna, as Paramatma, gave an idea. Just see. When you don't reject people's service, Krishna allows you to engage more people in Krishna's service. You know, the idea clicked or Paramatma directed him. He said, why not go to the Birla house? Because he tried many times to go to Birla house. At the gate only he was stopped. Now he has an ambassador car. Manufactured by the Birlas only. And it was a new ambassador car driven by a driver. And he went directly to their bungalow. And the gatekeeper opened the gate. And he went inside, drove there, stopped at their, you know, the gate at the house. And got down. And nobody stopped him. He just directly went. And the grandson was there. And he said, can I meet your grandfather? And the grandfather came out. And Giriraj Maharaj spoke to him for a long time. And eventually asked for donation. And the main Birla said, okay, I will come back to you. And Giriraj Maharaj left. Before going, he took the number from the grandson. And for a few days, he did not receive any message from them. Then he called the phone. He called this person. This was Chandrakant Birla, who is now the owner of the ambassador. So then he called him. He said, you know what, I had spoken. Remember, I spoke to you and your grandfather promised. So grandson went and he said, grandfather, you had promised to them, you have to give something. And Giriraj Maharaj said, they received one of the biggest donation for ISKCON in those days, which was ever given by anybody else. He said, but how that money came? That money came because I was grateful to this person who offered a car, which was useless. So that is the nature of Krishna's devotee also. Like Maharaj told, Radhananda Maharaj told that a devotee offered something. He promised to give something to Krishna in another place, another temple. And at the last moment when the dress, he offered money. He said, I will give donation for Radharani's dress on Radhashtami. He promised it. And at the last moment he said, I'm not going to give. I'm not happy with the dress. And the brahmachari was dealing with this. He gave him a huge philosophy of karma, reaction, sin, and then what will be the consequences of not fulfilling the promise. Mother Earth cannot tolerate lie. You know, he took exactly from the Bhagavatam saying, and he called just to have a piece of his mind, and he told me, I gave my peace of mind to him and told him how nasty this person is. And I happened to mention this to Maharaj. You know, Maharaj, this person was agreeing to give money, but now he's not, he just withdrew, he's not going to give any money. And therefore this brahmachari is very upset. Maharaj said, he's nonsense. Not that man, but the brahmachari. He said, if this would have happened with me, he said, I would have been grateful to that devotee for whatever service he had done in the past. And I would have agreed, understood, okay, now he's not able to do for whatever reason, I would have not complained about it. And then I called this devotee. He said, immediately ask this devotee to beg forgiveness. He said, you cannot bite the hand which feeds you. He said, this person has done so much of charity, all this time. This time he is not giving. It is not proper behavior for a devotee to criticize for not giving. Therefore, philosophy is one thing, but the application of the philosophy is another thing. What the devotee did was right. He had the Bhagavatam, and there are hundreds of such verses to justify. He didn't speak anything which is spoken in Jhopadpatti. He spoke directly from the Bhagavatam, but still he was wrong. Therefore, that is the difference between the demigods or an expert materialistic in this world, or Krishna or Krishna's devotee. It all depends upon how we react to different situations. It gives us the understanding, am I a materialistic or a devotee? Being a devotee is a continual process. It is not that one is stamped as a devotee, we are a devotee, anything we do. No, it's a continual process. And Lord continues to remain the Lord at all time by behaving like this. You see, when Hiranyakashipu, what he did not do, Hiranyakashipu Prabhupada writes, he was a bloodsucker. He would not drink tea. That is also we condemn. Tea and coffee is condemned by the Hare Krishna devotees. No, too much condemnation is there. What to speak of drinking blood? Ravana, he tells Mother Sita, you see, there is no question of talking nicely. He said, I will cut you and use you in a breakfast. That's what Ravan spoke. And Hiranyakashipu was the same thing. He would drink blood. But Lord Krishna did not see that. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam also it is explained that a devotee is praying to Krishna, how can I accept any other master other than Krishna, because he is grateful at all the time. Therefore, he is called as Sarvagya. Sarvagya means, when we talk about omnipotency of the Lord, or all pervasiveness of the Lord, it is only seen from the point of view of knowledge or his energy. All pervasive. Krishna is all pervasive through his energy. But that is not as all pervasive as the nature of Krishna, in regards to his compassion and his, in regards to his mercy. Where it is not supposed to go, there is no reason according to the logic of good and bad, the mercy is not supposed to flow there. But still mercy flows. Not only what Hiranyakashipu did in this lifetime, but what he did in the Vaikuntha world, Krishna is still being very grateful to him. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, he went and sat. Just to give credit to Hiranyakashipu, all this hard labor should not go in waste. I need to give credit. You need to get that Ajnata Sukriti. So therefore, why should anyone have any master other than master like Krishna? Because any other master is a master with a ruthless heart. His whole tendency is to exploit. One of our devotee, Rasnath, was mentioning, he works in the Wall Street. He said when he took his family there, you know, his family, mother, sister and father, he said they couldn't walk into that street. He said, no, we don't want to stay here. The vibrations were too powerful, negative vibrations. And how did it begin? He said the Wall Street began, if you read the history of that street, it all begin with trading the slaves. The stock would go up and come down based upon these slaves. So that was the beginning of Wall Street. So naturally, how can the foundation is so cruel and whatever built upon that, how can it be merciful and magnanimous? It is not possible. Therefore, they don't care. He works 20 hours a day. And for a devotee to work like that, 20 hours even on Saturday and Sunday was working. And then if you don't work, he said even his boss, and especially painful when you have a lady boss, and she blasts you, you know, you are saying, very painful, no mercy, no compassion. So therefore Krishna, the whole the process of Bhakti Yoga, as described, it is the process of Krishna being grateful to his devotee and devotee being grateful to Krishna all the time. Therefore, demigods, just see, we discussed this before once, that a living entity always remembers the present situation. He cannot remember the past good. Whatever is influenced by the present, if the present is bad, then he forgets the past and he becomes very reactive. The natural tendency of the conditioned soul is that he may receive a lot of benefits from others, and when that benefit stop coming and there is a negative influence of that personality, then he does not mind criticizing, bringing him down, without even slightly remembering all the past good he received from his master. Both the masters and the servant, they have the name master and servant, but both have the tendency to exploit. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj condemns both the master and the servant. A servant who is serving the master with the intention of receiving something from the master, and master is giving benediction to servant with the intention of getting a good name from the servant. Prahlad Maharaj condemns both such people. He says, in my relationship with you, my Lord, he told Lord Narsingdev, there is nothing but you are my master without any condition and I am your servant without any condition. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, such a powerful concept is presented. The concept of gratitude, the concept of, you know, being always remembering the services rendered by a devotee. Like Putana's story also. Forget the whole background that Putana was the daughter or a sister of Bali Maharaj. Don't consider that. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also, the great commentators, do not tell this story. The story is there in Garga Samhita, but he doesn't give commentary on this. What does Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says? That it was Krishna's greatness. He saw that she has come to give me milk. There is no background involved. Background is there, but still there. Krishna saw that she has come to give milk. But unfortunately, there is a contamination of poison also. I will take away that poison and give her the credit of giving the milk. Therefore, Hridayanand Maharaj explains in one commentary that Krishna is strict but not malicious. When we are given the power to punish somebody, along with that power comes also the distorted sense of gratification to punish others. When somebody is given, people under them or animals under them, the Prabhupada story of, you know, seeing a butcher slaughtering a chicken. Yes, you may be a butcher, you may be slaughtering a chicken, but why take pleasure in half slaughtering it and seeing that chicken suffer so much? And when the son was not enjoying it, he's slapping the son. Enjoy it. Asking him to forcefully enjoy. It was very amusing to Prabhupada that how can somebody do like this? So this is the natural tendency of a conditioned soul. When he's given a power, he takes pleasure in giving punishment. There's a natural tendency that, oh, I'm going to punish, and that punishment should give me the pleasure. Like in that book by the Russian devotees, Salted Bread, that officer, when he was taking pleasure, his wife told him that, you know, if you do not punish them like this, they asked him, why do you punish like this Hare Krishna devotees like this? He said, if I do not do like this, my wife will not, you know, give me sense gratification. And she has told me that you have to punish them like this. You know, hitting them with his foot, with the shoes on their chest, punching them on their face, and reporting his wife, and then she would give him pleasure. Just see what kind of, how can you call her a human being? But that is a natural tendency of a conditioned soul. That if the power is given, it is guaranteed, if you are not a devotee of Krishna, and not a continual devotee of Krishna, that we need to enjoy. One has to experience pleasure. And if the pleasure does not come from being offering service to Krishna, the pleasure has to come by causing pain to others. You have to cause pain to others. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur tells that story that man was going to Yatra and his neighbor felt that how can he get all the credit of going to Yatra? He cannot. So therefore in the morning he stood there outside his house cutting his nose. You know, just see, he's putting himself in trouble to see that he does not get the benefit of going to Yatra. Because it's an ill omen to see a person with a cut nose when you are about to go to Yatra. And that man was very much influenced by this ill omen and bad omen, good omen. So therefore, he could not go to Yatra. That is the tendency of the living entity. Therefore, the Shastra explains in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, Prithu Maharaj, he's offering his prayers to four Kumaras. He says, my dear four Kumaras, how can I repay what you have offered to me? I cannot repay. If you want to repay, if you want I should repay you, there is nothing I can offer. I simply become a laughing stock. However much I try, I cannot repay. And then he makes a statement, therefore, your satisfaction may be, let be giving charity to others be your satisfaction. In bhakti again, the concept of, you know, reward is not there because the action itself is a reward. When a devotee renders service to Krishna, that service itself is a reward. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj said, I cannot offer anything to you. Therefore, let your charitable activity itself be your reward. That feeling, that satisfaction. If you desire anything else, then that contamination comes. Therefore, yesterday we were discussing in the afternoon class that when we judge others based on the principle of right and wrong, and we accept Krishna to judge us without this principle of right and wrong. In Vaishnavism, bringing the concept of good and bad is making Vaishnavism hell and heaven. Because Vaikuntha is beyond hell and heaven. When we bring the concept of good and bad, right and wrong, hell and heaven, we may not say, I want to go to hell or heaven. But the attitude of, you know, this is right, therefore he needs to be given material reward. Or this is wrong, therefore he needs to be punished. When we bring that concept, we will be judged with a similar way only. We can't be asking Krishna that, no, you can't judge me like this. You have to judge me based upon my attitude. No. If we judge others like that, Krishna will also judge us like that only. So therefore, learning the lessons from great souls like Prabhupada or Lord Narsingdev here, that how much harm Hiranyakashipu committed, but Krishna continued to remember, no, you are connected to me in the spiritual world as my servant. Therefore, whatever you have created, in fact, it is explained in the scripture that when you have to invite a pure Vaishnava or a great saintly person, what to speak of the Lord? Just like in Jagannath Puri, when you are offering bhoga, everything is cooked. And they have to reconfirm when they are offering bhoga, that there are procedures to reconfirm that this bhoga is pure. And if the bhoga is not pure, whatever one has cooked, everything has to be rejected, it has to be thrown. They see a reflection of the Lord in the Achman water. And if that reflection is not seen, they have to throw. The whole place has to be cleaned thoroughly. The kitchen has to be clean. Even if one hair is there, small hair, you know, one cannot be offering that. Similarly, when the seat has to be offered to the Lord to sit, idam asanam, you invite the Lord. If the seat is not proper, according to mantra, tantra, all those rituals, then you may perform the procedure, but the Lord will not come. According to that principle. But for a devotee, like when Prabhupada was teaching Jayanand Prabhu Gayatri Mantra, he gave him a Brahman thread and he tried him to teach Brahman Gayatri. And however much he tried, he was not able to chant Gayatri Mantra. Prabhupada said it is a hopeless case. In regards to make him learn the Gayatri Mantra, he said, you, whatever you do, no problem, Krishna will accept. Why? Because he had such disposition of serving Krishna. Natural disposition. It was not artificial. Therefore, Prabhupada said, don't worry. Whatever you do, it's okay. And therefore, he taught also. when he taught the mantra to devotees, when he would come to the temple, wake up the Lord. How do you wake up? Now we chant so many complex mantras. But Prabhupada taught, Jayadvaita Maharaj explains, the devotees would say, Krishna, get up now. That was the mantra. Now you go to sleep. Please take this bhoga. Why? Because there was innocency and therefore Krishna was willing to accept. But sometime we have got all the elaborate offering, all mantras are there. The tendency of those who worship the deity, again, it is not general rule, but many times it happens that those who are absorbed in worshipping only deities but not devotees, they become very ritualistic. In the name of cleanliness, which has to be maintained, no doubt. Therefore, we see how the brahmanas all over India, they had to maintain the purity only regards to the service of the Lord. But when they extended their so-called mundane purity by judging fallen people and calling them as fallen or contaminated, untouchables, then they created ugliness, impurity. Their heart became very hard. And therefore the whole revolution of the lower class people became very prominent. Why? Because the Brahmana class extended the purity of the altar into social life also, rejected them, calling them they are fallen, they are sinful, they cannot be touched. Like Radhana Maharaj is mentioning, when Haridas Thakur was called as untouchable, he was untouchable not by so-called Brahmanas, but he was untouchable by Maya. That was Haridas Thakur. Huh? Yes, he was untouchable, but Maya could not touch him. She said, oh, you are too pure to touch. She couldn't touch him. So therefore, a devotee of the Lord, he sees Krishna, he develops the qualities of Krishna, and when we can see like that, so therefore bhakti is very, it cannot be established in a mundane level. You cannot organize the concept of bhakti on the mundane realm. Yesterday we were listening to Prabhupada's tape. He said bhakti is not by force. He said it is a natural thing. It has to be developed naturally. And therefore when we see, when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam associated with such devotees, hear their grateful heart, always being grateful to Krishna and always seeing good in others and being engaging others in Krishna's service, like Madhusevita Prabhu, I told his story in the Bhaktivedanta hospital in his Vyas Puja offering. He talks how he became a devotee. Very interesting story. That he was hitchhiking, he left Europe, he came to Afghanistan, he came to Turkey, then he came to Iraq, came to Afghanistan, and then he came to Pakistan, and from there he had a choice to go to India or Nepal, but he landed in Nepal. He landed in Nepal and he came to the hippie land. There all the hippies would come there, hire small rooms and stay there, and they would perform their process of taking drugs. And he came in touch with two people who were taking drugs, but they are speaking this most fantastic philosophy. Amazing philosophy. They were talking about devotion, God, all attractive, chanting some mantras, and they were chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And he was so fascinated by that philosophy, because that was the first experience for him to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness spoken by these two devotees, and they were in saffron dress, but they were taking drugs. But he didn't know the connection that a Hare Krishna devotee or a devotee, or that matter any spiritual, is not supposed to take drugs. He couldn't see that connection. But he liked what they were speaking. He did not consider what they were doing bad. He didn't even bother to find it out. And he was so fascinated. He came to India, he took books, and then he became a devotee. And after 38 years he's writing, offering his great gratitude to them, that if these two devotees were not there, now can you call them as the devotees? They are taking drugs. They had stopped chanting Hare Krishna. But they were affected by Prabhupada's philosophy so much, even while taking drugs. And they were not hiding, they were doing it openly. In fact, they went to take drugs just in that land only. You know, to culture your, if you want to prosper in whatever you do, you have to associate with such kind of people. So they were in that kind of area, but they couldn't stop speaking about Krishna conscious philosophy. So he was mentioning, just see how Prabhupada affected their consciousness. Their condition continued to exist, and they are not brahmacharis, they are sannyasis. He says, and one of them was a secretary to Prabhupada, and he died of overdose of drugs. He's writing this in the offering. You can actually go to krishna.com and it is available, that offering. He died, but he said, how can I not be grateful to these people? Without them, I would have not come to Krishna. Just because this devotee is grateful, even though they went through this bad patch of their life, stopped their Krishna consciousness to such an extent that they were dead. One of them was dead. But even after 38 years, it becomes an important change of life for a devotee, and therefore he is writing that how can I not be grateful to these devotees? If they had not spoken to me about Krishna, maybe I have taken a different direction altogether. Continued to take drugs and never came to practice spiritual life. So therefore, that is the power of bhakti. That is the mystery of bhakti. That who will preach to us, how we will become devotees, and then how we continue to remain grateful to those who preach to us. And those devotees may not be devotees now. Bhakti Charu Maharaj also writes, you know, somebody who made him a devotee had a difficulty in his spiritual life, but he couldn't stop being grateful to that devotee. And that is our hope. When we render service to others, preach Krishna consciousness to others, it is not that we are savior to them. In fact, they will save us. Why? Because there is no guarantee, because the material world is so powerful and strong, there is no guarantee that we will continue to remain devotees. Very difficult place. But if we have rendered some service to some devotees, some other conditioned souls, and they become grateful to us, their gratitude becomes our hope. And we continue to exist in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord will also come and sit on our heart at some point of time and take us back to the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions?
Thank you, Guruji, for the nice class. I wanted small clarification of Jai Vijay are associates of the Lord. So are all living entities. So does the same compassion extend to all of us?
Therefore, we have got this material body to practice devotional life. Otherwise, a living entity, the whole reason for the creation, it is explained why the creation is there, why the material world is there. We rebelled against the Lord, but that is not seen by the Lord. He says, okay, let me create a facility. When you rebel, then you lose your identity. Then you have to be in the slumber, the eternal slumber of the Lord, where the living entity has to lie down millions of years. Just imagine, Krishna's yoga nidra is as eternal as his kingdom in the spiritual world. So eternally we will be in deep slumber without rendering any service. But that is not the nature of the living entity. So therefore, the material world is created, a temporary world, for what? To give a facility for the conditioned soul to revive his devotional life, to revive his nature. That is Krishna's. Therefore he knows our connection to him. Therefore he provides that facility so that we can go back to the spiritual world. Where is the question, the living entity which has given up Krishna in the spiritual world, ever reviving Krishna consciousness in the material world? Doesn't make any sense. It is not logical. How can you go from here to the spiritual world when you came from the spiritual world to a non-spiritual world? So how can your endeavor will take you to Krishna? There is no chance. Therefore, bhakti is not Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, our process apparently looks like the combination of the kitten and the baby monkey, but actually it's a process of kitten only. You be there so that the mother cat will hold you. Your endeavor, if you see the Malkham game, it's there in Maharashtra. There is a pole, a small pole, and they apply oil and ripe banana. Banana, ripe banana is very, very slippery. And you apply oil to your body and try to climb opposite. Not holding like this, but holding like this from behind. What is the guarantee that you will climb? Very difficult. That is how our endeavor to go back to Godhead. All other process of spirituality, jnana marg, astanga marg, the upasana khand, is all like that. There will be fault, and the fall is so great, you go 4 feet and fall 16 feet down. So where is the question of going high? Therefore, you need to have Krishna, you need to have Lord like Krishna, who sees there is actually nothing being offered to him, but he sees something being offered. That is his greatness. So therefore, where is the question of living entity ever calling the Lord that I rendered service? Maine itna kiya, abhi tak kuch nahi mila. When somebody comes and prays to the Lord, you know, I did so much. When he says I did so much, you know, Krishna must be laughing. That how can you say that you did so much? We did nothing. Therefore, first the Lord gives the concept, the Hare Krishna movement. You know, Prabhupada's philosophy, Gaudiya philosophy or Vaishnava philosophy gives us the right concept. Why do we come to the temple? Most people, the temple is also a den of ignorance only. Why do they come to the temple? They don't know. Like we were in Kumbh Mela and people are actually offering Dakshina. They were keeping coin to the picture, to the diorama of where, you know, the karma diorama is there. Man is lifting axe to kill a cow, and people are folding their hands and putting donation there. Actually, it's a true story. I saw personally. And we have to tell her, no, no, this is not God. That is the level of ignorance people have. People can worship somebody who looks like a mafia Bombay as God. So where is the question of, you know, knowing who is God? And even if they come to God, what do they ask? I was telling this very nice experience. I was telling our Gopal Garden children about the story of one devotee in Ranganath temple. He lost his life. When he came right in front of the Lord, he was taking darshan, he died. Now if you ask the mundane people, they'll say, what inauspicious. Bhagwan ke paas gaya aur mar gaya itna jaldi. Why? Because people go to God asking, mujhe lamba ayu chahiye. So for them, somebody dying in front of the Lord is inauspicious. Therefore, in the newspaper they write, you know, article what? That 300 pilgrims going to Badrinath, landsliding, they all died. What kind of God is this? But they don't understand, their consciousness is going to Badrinath and they die, they all go back to Godhead. How can a newspaper understand it? They can never understand. They will only call it as inauspicious. So when I asked our children, I told a story, with our 7th, 8th children, that which one you want? You know, you'll die in front of Radha Gopinath today, or you want 100 years with all kind of sense gratification. Every child said, I want to die immediately in front of Radha Gopinath. That is the power of Krishna conscious concept. That even a child can understand. And all big, big scholars, they come to the temple and they say, what is this statue? So therefore, it is all the mercy of the Lord. First, he gives us the right understanding. He gives us the concept. And that is the difference between the demigods and Krishna again. Krishna might give material benediction, but greater than that, he gives the realization. Dhruva Maharaj. He said, what was his realization? What is this? You know, broken piece of glass. He had the guts, he had the power to say all the opulence of the world to the broken piece of glass. You could say that for iPhones, a broken piece of glass. It's a difficult. People are so amused by, you know, that phone. Just by the touch of a finger, your picture moves rectangle, vertical and horizontal, become smaller, bigger. Just see, like somebody was saying, one of our devotee child plays 20 hours of video, so amused. He can play 20 hours. He can't call out, what is this stupid moving of lights? Only a devotee, one is absorbed, has received the mercy of Krishna, can call it. Like our Suvatrapur, when he was speaking on Gaur Purnima day, he said, what is moving? Nowadays even devotees are going in circles. Like Maharaj mentions this, that let us go to movie. How can ever a devotee say this? Prabhupada shows such a confidence in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, my devotees, even if you give them crores of rupees, they will not go to movies. He writes like that. Just see, his confidence is so great, and we say, let us go to movie. And what is that? He says, first you have to create complete tamo, total ignorance, and some lights are moving here and there, and people shed tears. He said, that is height of ignorance. But the concept is not there. Why? The concept is not there because, as you said, the power of material nature is so great. Therefore, Krishna in the 10th canto explains, she is as powerful as me. He does not say she is inferior to me, equal to me. If you don't worship Krishna, you have to worship Durga in some form. There is no choice. So therefore, we cannot have a diluted practice of spirituality. One cannot say, okay, you know, I'm doing good. I'm doing some japa and some other thing also. He said it cannot work like that. Because somebody has to take over. Either Krishna has to take over or Maya has to take over. And when they take over, they don't take over 50%. It is not that Maya says, Krishna, you take 50%, I take 50%. They take 100%. One Vaishnava was mentioning, he said, when Bali Maharaj had the choice between choosing to serve Krishna as Vamandev or to deny and follow Shukracharya, he said he chose to serve Krishna. And Vamandev became Trivikram. He said, that is the nature of Krishna. He says, give me three steps. But not only three steps, he occupies everything what you have, and he occupies your head also. He sits inside your brain. And he says, give me 100%. And he said, no, I don't want you, Krishna. I will serve little Maya and I will keep my independence. Maya says, no. You need to give me 100%, millions of lifetime. That famous statement Radhananda Maharaj said, Maya says, give me a moment of yours. And many lifetimes pass without serving Krishna. So therefore there is no choice. You cannot have 10 masters. Having 10 masters means prostitution. Bhagavatam explains. Having many masters means, then you are not chaste. Your chastity is lost. Therefore, one has to live in the material world with great difficulty. You know, like a fish out of water. One should not enjoy material life. That is the problem we were discussing with the children. He said, when you tell your parents that what is the harm in doing this, that is the greatest harm. When you make that statement, write it down your notebook. When you tell your parents that what is the harm in trying little sense gratification, when you make that statement, he said, you remember this statement as much as you remember Hare Krishna mantra. Because most of our children will make that statement. What is the harm? What is the harm in having a girlfriend? Our young boys or young girls may say, what is the harm in having a boyfriend? When you make that statement, that is the harm. What is the harm in trying to drink beer? What is the harm in having many more things, which I don't want to mention? Because when they make that statement, that is the harm. That is the power of Maya. We gave the example that when you put your finger in the electrical socket, you experience pain. But when you put yourself in Maya, what Maya does? Maya says, you understand there is no harm. And for they come and say, what is the harm? What is the harm in doing it? And that is the greatest harm. That you forgot to understand. Not forgot, you actually had a different philosophy now that there is no harm. And that is the greatest danger. And therefore one has to fear Maya. One cannot afford to, you know, come close to Maya, try to experience, let us see what happens. You will not be there. Like Markandeya Rishi, he said, I want to see your external energy. He said, are you sure? He said, yes. And billions of years he was floating, tossing up and down. And the acharyas explained, that is not a good desire to ask from Krishna. Because seeing Maya means drowned in Maya. But because Krishna was merciful to Markandeya Rishi, he brought him back. Because that was whole under the protection of the Lord. But still it is not a good desire. Prabhupada said, what to speak of? You know, wanting to see Maya, even wanting to have Krishna as your son is not a good desire. Therefore, when in the 10th canto he writes that, he says it's not a good desire to ask Krishna to become one son. He said, you practice devotional service in such a way that you have a nice son like Krishna, but not Krishna. Yeah, there is a management question. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki.